Look, the biggest podcast where you can learn them lessons. Line for line where you can learn from different sections. Made it out the mud, come tell your story, blessings. Never know who listening, never know who stressing. Devon gave you a voice, come speak your honest truth. Line for line, go bar for bar, it's up to you. Wanna talk sports, gov, and politics. Wanna talk about where you from and your accomplishments. The Line for Line is really where you need to be. A platform that's really made for folks like you and me.
All right, we are here back on the Line for Line podcast. I have a very special guest today, all the way from Germany, transitioned into the U.S. This is Devon, and I am here with Gisela. Gisela, how are you today?
Oh, I'm just fine. Thank you for coming over. And my name is Gisela. It's probably very hard to say, but you'll get used to it. I did too.
I tried to say it all night for like 10 to 15 minutes yesterday, and it was extremely hard for me to sit there and get it right, you know? And it's so funny because my name is Devon and people call me Devon. It's hard for them to pronounce my name. I was like, I can't imagine how hard it is to pronounce your name for other people.
Well, my husband got used to calling me Geese, so yeah. I prefer Gisela.
Gisela.
Anyway, just a few things I have written down here, and I'd like to present them to you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And I'd just like to have a little back record here of World War II, and because that's the time that we lived through, my sister, my mother, and I. We were only three of us in our family. World War II started on September 1, 1939. And ended on May 8, 1945. I'm sure these dates are known to most of the people. We lived in the city of Breslau, which turned Wrocław after the war. It turned Polish. At the time we lived there, it was a beautiful German city. It was surrounded by mountains, the Silesia Mountains, and the city had a river going through by the name Oder. Now, the city of Breslau and the Oder had 135 bridges going across the river. It was a very beautiful city. It was a university town, and it was well known for the Rathaus, which is a city hall, and it is still standing there. We went to see it a few years ago. It never got bombed out, and it's a beautiful building. Okay, Auschwitz, this is what I'm talking about, Breslau, Auschwitz. Everybody knows about that because the liberation of Auschwitz was on 26th of January, 1945. It's just an anniversary, 76 years ago, a couple of days ago. Auschwitz was 50 kilometers from the city of Breslau where we lived. Nobody in Breslau at that time knew that Auschwitz existed, the concentration camp. Later on, when it was liberated, people found out that there were 1.1 million people dying in Auschwitz, and somehow nobody knew about it, and it's hard to believe that nobody knew. But Breslau was a fortress. The German held the fortress till after the war was over. The whole city had to be evacuated in 48 hours, starting on January 19, 1945. And it gave us 48 hours to get out of the city. If you did not make it out of the city, you were either bombed out, or you were killed, or you were executed, or you died of natural causes.
Now, how old were you at this time?
I should say that too. I was born in 1940, so I was at that time almost 5 years old.
So do you remember what it was like to be pressed to leave at that time?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure your parents were like dragging
you. Some of these things, you know, you usually remember the things that have a bad memory. Okay, so these things I remember. Okay, I remember packing up and leaving the city. My father had already been killed during the war in 1940, so I never met my father. He died before I was born.
Oh no!
Before I was born.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, that's how life was in those years. He got killed in action in France. So it was my mother. She was not quite 30 years old. And my sister was a year older. She was 5 and a half. I was 4 and a half, something like that. And my grandmother was with us.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the main instigator that we actually made it out of the city. Okay, the whole city had to be evacuated. So there were loudspeakers going through the whole city.
Mm-hmm.
And these loudspeakers, now you would use cell phones or whatever, but they were big loudspeakers in the city. Breslau has to be evacuated. And it said, no reason for alarm. Take your time. Children and women should go first. And that was January 20, 1945. By January 22, the city had to be completely cleaned out.
Oh my gosh.
Believing. Okay. So women and children were supposed to leave first. They said over the loudspeakers, take a small luggage, go one direction, and there will be trucks with milk for the children, which was a lie. Never happened.
Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah, never happened. They just wanted people to leave, and there would be food for you, they kept saying. Okay. So a couple hours later, still on January 20, the same announcement was made, but it was more urgent. Women and children have to leave immediately. Leave by foot. Vehicles will be waiting for you. Was not true either. The Nazi party had panicked. They knew the Russians were advancing, and they would have been overrun, the whole city, if people hadn't left. And this is a very famous city for that reason, because it had to be evacuated, otherwise everybody would have been killed.
Yeah.
You read that in all the books, you know, in all the history books you can read about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
Now, the railway stations, we lived not too far from the rail, from the train station. They were filled to overflow. An estimated 60,000 women and children left that day at 20 degrees minus Celsius, which is about 10 minus Fahrenheit, right?
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it was cold. It was one of the coldest days, they said, okay.
No.
Okay.
It's 10 or 4.
Okay.
10. Okay,
they were already, what battle? There were already 600,000 refugees on the roads that came from the northern part going through Breslau heading south, okay? So these 60,000 people from Breslau, the women and children, added to that group.
Okay? Oh, wow.
So the refugees were on the roads. They were everywhere. The parks, there were a lot of parks in the city of Breslau. They turned them into graveyards because people died left and right. People didn't make it. Mostly older ones and children died,
mm-hmm. okay?
So an estimated 90,000 people died during the evacuation, mostly elderly and children. On the 22nd of January, no more transportation was available. It was a Monday at 10 a.m. The order came over loudspeakers, leave the city on foot. So whoever did not get out by train had to leave by foot.
By
like
foot?
Like I said before, the trains didn't run anymore. People were killed. They trampled each other to death at the train station, trying to leave the city.
Oh, my gosh.
People carried their belongings and dragged them, and some had carts and some had prams. I think that's the word.
Mm-hmm.
The children's baggage. They made a black line in the white snow. Hundreds of thousands were on the road. Dead people were dropped off on the side of the road. People who left by train the day before were headed to Dresden, into a refugee camp there. On the 13th of February, 1945, another, I call it infamous day, Dresden was bombed and most of the refugees were killed. It was never known how many refugees were in Dresden. They all came from the city of Breslau on those trains heading toward Dresden. And we were supposed to be on the train, but we did not go on the train, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
So now, do you have a few more minutes? Or are you
I do. To... I have a few more minutes. So I...
Okay, well, I make it a little faster.
I have a lot more minutes for you.
Now we're coming to the 20th of January, my personal view of what
yes,
happened
ma'am.
To us. Okay, 20th of January, 1945, we have heard the order, leave Breslau. On the 22nd of January, we got out. My mother took the important documents, and she was a very... She was very, it's not just smart, but she knew what to do.
Yes, ma'am.
People came to her and said, what are you doing? What are you taking? So my mother went to a shoemaker and he made a sack out of an animal skin we had in front of our beds. So she made that into a sack to put me in because I was kind of little and small. My sister got another sack out of wool. She had that all made, had that done. It was in hours, okay. So then she started packing things. She took the most important documents. She took birth certificates, marriage license, death certificates, pension papers, some picture, jewelry. That jewelry later on she traded for bread and food. Okay, so jewelry was important.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Some money, whatever they had. So then she had the four backpacks. She had them sewed out of sheets. And I remember having this cloth backpack. You wouldn't walk around with it in this country. It was a homing thing.
Yeah.
It served the purpose. So we had our things. And people came and said, what do you take? And she says, make yourself a little pouch with a string. Hang it around your neck and put your most important document into this back. Okay, this is what she told other people.
Smart idea.
Smart. She had these papers she could have never done in later life without these papers. Okay. Mm-hmm. So anyway, this is what she did. Then she had a stroller, and she wanted to put us in a stroller. But now we were ready to go. On the 20th January, backtrack, we went to the train station. We came there. She stood in line all day. She could not get on the train with us. She put us in the corner and my grandmother, and she went to look for tickets, never even get tickets. So she came back and found us, and she said, let's go back home. So we went back home into our apartment one more night, okay? She had the key. You locked the place up. It was all bombed out anyway. It was ironic that she had the key to her apartment. You know, yeah. She kept it, but it didn't do her any good, okay? So anyway, we went back this one night. And we slept next day morning again, pack everything up. She dressed us in layers so we didn't have too much to carry. So we had our clothes on, okay? So we left again the next day. It was the 21st. No one could leave. People trampled each other to death at the station. Time was running out. Sirens kept blasting. Leave the city. If not by train, then walk. Oma decided, my mother decided again to go back home. She did not think we could survive getting out by train.
Oh, wow.
It was, again, 20 minus Celsius, which is about 10 below. We slept one more night in our apartment. On the 22nd, it got critical to leave the city. My mother did not know what to do. Then a friend, and this is the thing which is actually a miracle, how we made it out. A friend of hers came by, a lady, and she said she's trying to leave by train on that day. Nobody ever heard about from that lady again. She must have perished on the way to the train station. Now, this lady who came to say goodbye to my mother had a brother, and he came and said to my mother, have you seen my sister? And my mother said, no, I saw her say goodbye to us. And then this man said, I have a truck. It's a government truck, and I'm leaving the city tomorrow morning on the 22nd of January. I can take you. But pretend that you are my sister, okay? So my mother said, I'd love to. This is the best chance. Otherwise, you can't leave the city. But it was a government truck, so he was not, it was illegal to take passengers, okay? But then my mother said to him, it's not just me. It's my mother, her mother, and my two girls. There were four of us. And the guy said, if you're willing to hop in the back of the truck, I'll smuggle you out.
Nice.
So, yeah. So he took us, and then we had to walk to meet him someplace, and he took us, and he drove us to a city close to Dresden. Now, you probably heard about Dresden, the city that was bombed by the Allies.
Yep.
Yes, the 13th of February, 1945. So he took us, and we ended up by some relatives that we knew, my mother knew she had been there before, and the men dropped us off. So we stayed there for a while, and we were kind of safe there because it was away from the Russians advancing, but then the Russians came anyway, okay? So we never knew, it was never known how many people perished trying to leave Breslau on these days. People were trampled to death in all the confusion.
Which is just extremely scary.
My grandmother went back. She had the courage. She said, I'm old anyway if something happened to me. She asked this truck driver, can you take me back? I want to get our feather beds. Now, if you know the Germans, they have feather beds. They still do to keep warm. Okay? Yeah. So she went back with this truck driver and got the feather beds and came back and met us. And this man took her, which was another miracle, you know. But she kept saying, if something happens, it doesn't matter because I'm an old person, okay? Now we heard that Breslau, she found out when my grandmother went back that Breslau, the city, was already bombed almost completely. On the 13th of February, we left Freiburg. That's the city we stayed in with my aunt. Are you okay with me?
Yes. I love hearing.
Okay. On the 13th of February, we left Freiburg, the city where my aunt lived, and we got on a train because we felt we could hear. My mother says she could hear overhead the bombs, you know, the planes, you know, the war planes. And so she said, we need to leave. So she took all of the four of us, and we went on a train. We did not know where the train was going. We just got on the train. Lucky we did. The train was heading toward Dresden, where many refugees from Breslau were. The train was a horrible place, old, overcrowded, a few seats, just room on the dirt floor. Oma got us into a small corner where we fell asleep. And, you know, I didn't want to mention this, but I probably should. you know, in this train, she always talked about that bicycle, right? That bicycle sitting in the corner in that train, you know, that bicycle kind of rescued us, you know, for some reason. She put us under that bicycle because it was so crowded, there was no room, and she put us under that bicycle and she kept us safe there, okay?
Yeah.
And my grandmother, they both watched us while we were sleeping on the train, okay? So there was only room on the dirt floor. So she got us in the corner and we fell asleep. I just said that the train was not going anywhere, just back and forth on the outskirts of Dresden. I said to my mother, now this is a famous, I mentioned it to our kids. I said, oh, mother, why is the sky so red? I could see it was dark and the train was going back and forth and the whole sky was red. And my mother said, it's the 13th of February, 1945. The city Dresden was bombed and the whole city is burning.
Yeah.
And you saw the fire. That's what you saw. The sky was red.
Yes, ma'am.
I forget it in my life.
Taking, like, just trying to visualize all this is literally bringing tears to my eyes and goosebumps to me.
Yeah,
just trying to.
Yeah. You're right. You know, you're right. That you really lived through this.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
To imagine the death and destruction around you is like, it's insane just to think about it right now.
Should I keep going?
Yes, please, if you don't mind.
All the refugees from Breslau that were in the city, which we would have been too if this truck driver hadn't taken us, all the refugees from Breslau headed towards Dresden. And somehow somebody said about 35,000. 35,000, that's a very low number.
35,000?
Went up to 200,000.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You have different books you read, you know, but nobody came up with a number.
Yeah.
How many refugees were actually in Dresden at the time?
Mm-hmm.
And all of them perished that day.
Scary.
Yeah. So we were on this train going around Dresden, not knowing where we were going. Now, there's another part which is very sad. It'll make you cry. We were on a train which was just going back and forth on the dirt floor, on that dirt floor, messy floors, no seats, by that bicycle in the corner, okay? And a woman came in with four children. She came into this wagon, okay? And one child was crying, I want to go home. I want to go sleep in my bed. And there's one word, our kids even copied that. The boy kept saying, "Hiya, Betty, again," which means, "Hiya, Betty, I want to go in my bed." Okay. So translation, you know, he wanted to go sleep in his bed and the woman didn't know what to do. She had a baby on her arm and this 2-year-old was crying and people were complaining. Why is this child making so much noise? We're all mixed up and everything. So this lady, my mother felt sorry for her. And she says, this lady says, "Can you hold my baby?" Okay. And my mother took the baby and she held the baby. It was wrapped in a horse blanket tied together with a string. Maybe 4 weeks old, my mother said.
Oh, my gosh.
So my mother held this baby, and she was leaning on this bicycle, you know, to support herself. And we were right there by the bicycle. So my mother held that baby for a long time. The train was going back and forth, stopped, went again, back and forth, you know, just a short, maybe a couple of kilometers, I don't know. It was because the tracks were bombed out.
Yes, ma'am.
So the train couldn't go anywhere. So then my mother was holding this baby, and she said, "The baby's awful quiet. I have to look at that baby." Okay. And she unwrapped the string and she looked at the baby. She took this horse blanket off and the baby was dead.
Oh my God.
My mother had been holding this baby all this time, a dead baby. My mother didn't know what to do. The mother from this child was besides herself. So my mother found a blanket in this train. I don't know where she found it. Another blanket, not this horse blanket. She wrapped this dead baby in the blanket. And she put that baby under the bicycle. It's a safe place.
Yes, ma'am.
That's why the bicycle was there.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, I have just a few more thoughts here. Oma took the baby. I just told you about that. It was a blanket. Okay. So then we spent days and nights on the train. The train did not just go a day. It went back and forth, back and forth. So then we didn't know and we needed food. But then the Red Cross came. They had nurses. And the Red Cross came and brought food for people on the train, okay?
The Red Cross, wow.
The Red Cross, something else, you know. And she gave people, they gave food. It wasn't much, but it was something. Then we were told the train wasn't going any further. They have to get out. So everybody out of the train, middle of the night, okay? And it was at a train station in Czechoslovakia, close to the city of Prague.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we got let out. And I remember these details because I was already a little older then. And we got out of the train, and it was this train station. And my mother and my grandmother took us and let us sleep on top of the backpacks and in the train station on the bench. And then the Red Cross came again. And they called them, what did they call them? Transport. They came from the East. They helped the people that came from the East. That's what it was, mm-hmm. the Red Cross. So that they picked us all up. They told us, follow us. And they took us to a bombed out, no, it wasn't bombed out, it was an old factory. And they told us there is room in the basement in this factory for refugees. Go into that factory and find a place to sleep. We went down there into the factory. There were straw mattresses. Never thought I would be happy to have a straw mattress.
Yeah. You know?
But we did. We had found clean straw mattresses and we had a place to stay there. And I think the way I understood my mother, we stayed 4 weeks in that basement, okay? By that time, it was almost spring, okay? My mother got very sick then. She couldn't take it anymore. She had experienced too much already. But anyway, then we went to the factory and we stayed in that factory on the floor and on mattresses. And I just want to add one more thing because I got that to birth. My mother was probably the most courageous woman I've ever met.
Sounds like it. Sounds to make it through
so
that,
she,
yes, ma'am.
She was so courageous. So we were in the basement on the floor, and here comes the soup. And the soup was water out of potatoes and some carrots, and everybody had a bowl. And, you know, we ate the bowl, we ate the soup, and here's this woman complaining really loud, and hundreds of people in that basement, okay? The soup is terrible. I can't stand the soup. Why don't they serve us something better? My mother said, be thankful to God that you are alive.
Yes.
And she took my sister and me, and she made us kneel down in the middle of that big basement, and she thanked God for the soup and for protecting us.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
This is how far I want to go. There's more to the story, but this is probably enough for you.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to add one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
We were little kids, we were 5 and 6 years old, 4 and 5, actually. But we knew you need a spoon, okay? So somebody gave, my sister had a silver spoon. I had another one which wasn't that fancy. But we each had a spoon, and we had a little bucket. Somebody gave us a bucket. It was an aluminum bucket. You hang on to the bucket, and you hang on to the spoon, because someday or sometime you might get some food. So be ready and have your bucket. You think of kids nowadays, would they ever carry a bucket around?
Yeah.
You know, worrying about getting food. But this is how we survived. And I have to say, it's with the Lord's, with God's help, we made it. And we're thankful to
yes,
be alive
ma'am.
And to be in this beautiful country of America.
Survival of the fittest. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Look, the biggest podcast where you can learn them lessons. Line for line where you can learn from different sections. Made it out the mud, come tell your story, blessings. Never know who listening, never know who stressing. Divine gave you a voice, come speak your honest truth. Line for line, go bar for bar, it's up to you. Wanna talk sports, gov, and politics? Wanna talk about where you from and your accomplishments? The line for line is really where you need to be. A platform that's really made for folks like you and me. You can find it all no matter what you seek. Whether you calling or you listening, tune in every week. Line for line. Oh yeah, I'm going line for line. Line for line. Call in and say what's on your mind.